All right, so here's something I'm really excited to talk to you guys about. It's a game called Gods on Kickstarter. It's a virtual reality game, but it doesn't require any kind of headset, so which is really awesome. It's a game where you are a god, and you want to take followers, but you have to take care of your followers. You have to beat other enemy gods, raise an army, and use creatures like tigers, lions, and some other animals to fight them. And the VR just looks awesome. It's a bonus. You don't need a headset. You can levitate things, throw off fireballs, squeeze and move people with your hands. It's like you're a god. I mean, it is pretty much what you would expect a god to be. You can almost do anything. You use gestures to attack, play as different characters throughout the game. It's multiplayer as well. And also, what's really cool, and you don't hear a lot about this, is that they are backed by Facebook, who are willing to help them out with some technical assistance. So what's also great is this game is available on PC, Xbox, PS4, Nintendo Switch, but they're also looking to add full support for the Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and PSVR. So it's pretty much every platform that you could think of. And right now, virtual reality is the growing trend. And I really would recommend you guys check out the Gods on Kickstarter. And I will tweet out a link that you'll see on my Twitter feed, which I'm at the WWE Podcast. So that link will be available there if you'd like to learn more about the project and maybe contribute and get this game going, because I think it's going to be a really big deal. And I'm super excited about this because I'm a video game fanatic. And when I see something this exciting, I have to tell you guys about it. Again, it's called Gods on Kickstarter. So check that out today. And I think you'll be...
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Glad you did. Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Today is Thursday, April 18th, 2019. The Superstar Shakeup is in the books. That will be the main focus of the discussion today. And major moves, as expected, from Raw to SmackDown and SmackDown to Raw. I think, in general, pretty good moves, pretty logical moves. And I think that it's going to be an interesting fall with the Fox deal and moving to SmackDown from Tuesday to Friday. And so we'll discuss that as well. But again, guys, thank you for joining me. And this is a bi-weekly show that I'm going to probably end up doing another show, try to do it three times a week in the coming weeks. And so I'm coming to you right now live from, well, live my time from New York City. I'm traveling on for work and making this work from a hotel room. So making this work wherever I go. A lot of equipment to bring. You know, I'm not going to lie, it's not just a laptop. There's a microphone and cords and stands and things that are difficult to travel with and take up most of the volume of your suitcase that you bring with you. But nonetheless, I'm here to deliver the audio pleasure for you, for professional wrestling fans. And so, again, guys, please follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast if you want to interact with me there. You can also email me, which is still a thing. It's realwwepodcast@gmail.com. If you have comments, questions, suggestions, or anything else that you want to be having answered on this show, you can really do it there. Or if you prefer, you can DM me on Twitter and ask me anything that you want there as well. But I keep those 5-star ratings coming on Apple Podcasts. I'm seeing them. They're greatly helping out the rankings of the show, and it is much appreciated. And for those of you that don't have Apple, well, I'm pretty much everywhere else. Spreaker, Stitcher, and Spotify, iHeartRadio. You guys know the drill. Everywhere that you have audio, this show should follow. So there's a a lot to talk about with the Superstar Shakeup. No real big surprises. I think if you've been following the wrestling news feed over the last month or so, it was pretty much it was speculated that Roman would be going to SmackDown, AJ could be going to Raw. That's really the top move that WWE made. If you're looking at a single move from the shakeup, that would be the top, the headline, and that would be Roman Reigns going to SmackDown and AJ Styles going to Raw. I like both moves. I think AJ Styles did a great service and added a ton of value to SmackDown Live. He was there for a number of years, really since his debut on at the Royal Rumble, or shortly thereafter joining the SmackDown Live roster. And I think that that was a smart move. He was a staple and really a footprint of Tuesday nights. He claimed to be it's the house that AJ Styles built, but I mean, it's a nice catchphrase, and he was the face of the brand. But I mean, there were many other guys that laid the groundwork for SmackDown before him. I mean, if he's just talking about SmackDown Live, sure, he might have been the house that he built, but if you in terms of SmackDown itself, I mean, SmackDown itself has been around since 1999. Not on a weekly basis, but it has originated back in 99. And, you know, he's not exactly the guy that built that show. Anyway, so him moving to Raw is a good move. I think there's a lot of new opponents that could complement his career and build his career further. He allegedly has just signed a new contract extension with WWE for an additional 3 years. So there's that to look at as well. I mean, if they're going to be putting stock in a guy that's leaving shortly, then that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But in AJ's case, he just signed a 3-year extension, and it's smart of WWE to move him to Raw, make it a big deal. And they have Roman Reigns going to SmackDown Live. I think is a good move for him. It also freshens up his career and being a staple on SmackDown Live. And I, as I said, if you guys listened to my show last week, that there needs to be a signal from WWE that they're taking this seriously in terms of the Fox deal, and they want to show that they are really taking this seriously by putting a big name on SmackDown. And they have. Roman Reigns is arguably one of the top, well, maybe the top name on Raw. So moving him to SmackDown, I am completely fine with. And it'll be a nice feeling and freshen things up to see him on Friday nights. And, well, Tuesday nights, but Friday nights in 5 or 6 months. And again, just like AJ Styles, he also has some new opponents to look forward to. I mean, there's no question about that. Now the question becomes, though, in the time being anyway, since he Superman punched Vince McMahon, where does that lead? I don't think Vince is going to roll over and take this. But it's interesting, too. When you look at SmackDown Live, and Vince McMahon was giving a over-the-top introduction for the largest acquisition in SmackDown Live history, saying that, you know, his charisma is off the charts, and basically describing Roman Reigns, and then brings out Elias, only to have Roman Reigns interfere, and, you know, ends up Superman punching Vince. It's interesting because that's exactly how Vince McMahon would describe Roman Reigns behind the scenes. And Vince McMahon viewing Roman Reigns as the biggest SmackDown acquisition. We all know Elias wasn't to be taken seriously with that introduction. But it's just, it's so frustrating as a fan to see that, to know that Vince McMahon is actually talking about Roman Reigns when he says those things, and not obviously Elias. I mean, Elias, when was the last time Elias even had a match? Is he still a wrestler? Like, what does he do? What does he do? Just entertain? What does he do? I mean, yes, you can credit him for getting over without really having to lift a finger. It's amazing. Yes, that's amazing. But you can't win a title by playing the guitar. You can't be iconic and legendary and get into the Hall of Fame by playing a guitar. There is a second piece to this that WWE is going to have to figure out quick, before the candle burns out on Elias and he becomes a one-trick pony. I mean, look at Braun Strowman. He's kind of the opposite, where the WWE burned out his one-dimensional character by having him just flip over heavy things and pull down big things. I mean, they essentially define him as a one-dimensional meathead, mindless monster that would just do crazy stuff. And we didn't get the other side of him of developing his character beyond that and give me more. Who is he? And with Elias, it's kind of the opposite, right? So there needs to be that balance, and I don't see that with Elias right now. As over as he may be, personally, when I hear that guitar strum and you hear the ring announcer say, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elias," and they say that, I give a big sigh. I'm like, I don't watch wrestling to see that. I don't. Elias, I guess, is mildly entertaining. Maybe I'm not as big of a fan as some people are of Elias, because I watch wrestling to, I know this sounds crazy, watch wrestling. And I'm not going to, you know, watch this guy week after week say the same thing. It's the same formula. It's just plug in a different individual who's going to interrupt him. I mean, that's essentially it. Have him play the guitar. A few strums in, or a few chords in, or a few lyrics in. You put wrestler X in to interrupt. And I mean, that's essentially it. And there's no wrestling. I mean, he's clearly not at the level that maybe WWE wants him to be. I don't know, but I'm really wearing thin on this. It's not heat for me. I'm not like booing him because he's a good heel. It's almost channel changing at this point for me. And it's just because it's overexposure for me. And then give me something more with Elias other than he's this wannabe musician who's delusional about the success that he's had. And you know he's going to be interrupted. That's it. That's all we have. That's it. I mean, you could say, okay, well, he's been interrupted by John Cena. He's been interrupted by Undertaker, by big names, to give him the rub. He's not having matches with these guys. It's really, I mean, when you look at it, Undertaker put him down. John Cena put him down twice. There's no payoff for Elias here. He just continues to be made a fool of and not generate real heat. I'm not following where the end game is here for Elias. He can't be this guitar strumming only guy for the rest of his career. So maybe there's something larger in mind, but right now it's formula. That's a formula that they're just overexposing, and it's channel changing for me at this point with Elias. Every time I hear that announcement, I just want to change the channel. But in other news, obviously, as I said, Roman Reigns punching Vince McMahon in the face. I don't know what that means. If that's going to mean that Roman Reigns is going to be some kind of anti-authority figure, I don't know. But the fans seem to be pretty receptive to it and didn't boo him, at least overwhelmingly, on SmackDown Live. And they had they got the reaction they were looking for. And so, I mean, I guess that's fine. Lars Sullivan is also another talking point here who I think they are really trying to make an impact with him. I mean, look at the guys he's interrupted. Matt and Jeff Hardy put them down. Rey Mysterio put him down. R-Truth put him down. Kurt Angle put him down. So they are really making a big statement for Lars Sullivan, who continues to just look like a monster. I hope they don't take the Braun Strowman path with him, just because we've seen that. And maybe that is a match down the line, but I want a little something different from Lars Sullivan. He's got a better look, I think, than Braun Strowman, at least from the facials. I like that they're calling him a freak. He looks believable. So far, so good with Lars. I know it's only been a couple of weeks, but I really like what I'm seeing so far. He has a presence. The crowd, even if they don't know him, are engaged, I believe, in him. You're drawn to Lars Sullivan on television, and that's the important thing right now. Even if you didn't watch him in NXT, he has that presence that makes you want to look at him, and that's essential right now. And so I like the presentation that they have provided for him so far. It's just going to be a matter of who does he get into, who's his real initial program going to be with. And I think that it needs to be someone who covers his weaknesses, makes him look strong. I think Lars Sullivan could go on a very long winning streak here, as he should, and probably ending with maybe Braun Strowman at SummerSlam. I mean, could it be? Maybe. We'll have to see. But so far, so good. Applause to WWE and Lars Sullivan for doing what needs to be done to get attention and executing the plan very well. So I'm excited to see where they go with him. Okay, quick break, and then on the other side, I want to talk about Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and the just negative reaction Bayley's getting lately. So, interesting thoughts on that right after this. Okay, welcome back. And so, let's dive into Kevin Owens first, who I think got a very warm and, as Corey Graves had put it, accurately, a hero's welcome to Montreal. He was welcome back in, with open arms, which was a little bit, I was a little bit hesitant as far as the reaction Kevin Owens would get, only because of how well Sami Zayn has performed in his turn back to the dark side from Monday night. And I'll get to that too in just a minute. But Kevin Owens, I think, knows how to work a crowd. I surprisingly enjoyed his stint with the New Day. I know that some people may think that that defines him down as kind of this comedic character that we aren't really relating to because of how he has performed and looked and be presented to us in the past of such a nasty, self-serving, selfish heel. And it's still hard, and I'm still having a little bit of difficulty truly buying into Kevin Owens as a babyface because it's just so much different. And him doing the hip swivel and all of that. We've seen this turn in the past. I mean, look at what they did with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, where we all were waiting for that shoe to drop. And it obviously it did. I mean, it ended in a match with those two at WrestleMania. So there's just some hesitancy that I have. And I kind of feel that same way with The Miz, that it's just hard to really view them and believe in that character that they're not going to just turn on me as a fan, right? It's difficult when they've been defined as one thing for so long to be able to go to the other side and have us buy in is difficult, but no better place to do it than in Montreal. And obviously Kevin Owens ends up eating all the pancakes and doing the hip swivel and being the honorary member of the New Day while Big E is out injured, all of that. I mean, it's fun to watch. Kevin Owens is always very good on the mic. You can tell he's quick-witted, he's just comfortable in his own skin, very important things, and so I was fine with it, and the Montreal crowd ate it up. Now, as far as Sami Zayn goes, I really loved what he did as well. The music that he played, his entrance music, that he played, three times, and the crowd just ate it up and was singing along, and they gave him a hero's welcome, too, and he ended up saying, I was born here in Montreal, I love this city, but I hate the people, and it was just genius. I loved it. I thought that Sami Zayn was exactly what he needed to be, and he was able to turn his own home crowd against him. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. And so you got to give credit where credit is due to Sami Zayn. And I love his new character. He seems authentic. He is just a pompous jerk that is great on the mic. He's great in the ring. They could do a lot with Sami Zayn. They really, really could. He's no longer that underdog little engine that could. He is the arrogant, I'm better than you, and feels authentic doing it. And so, I don't know, I'm loving Sami Zayn right now. The crowd reaction he got, though, at first was just, it was monstrous. It was amazing. And, even Alexa Bliss was, I guess, getting a kick out of it and played his music, three times, and he's dancing around like a fool, and I loved it, and again, the skill to be able to turn your own home crowd against you is not as easy as you think it would be, and so that was great to see. Again, I'm really high on Sami Zayn right now, and I think that they could do a whole lot with him. The whole being in Montreal thing was a bit overplayed, I think, though. In general, with the WWE storylines this past week with SmackDown Live and Raw. And what I mean by that is, okay, you're in Montreal, and then you just overplay the card of, oh, you guys speak French. And so you had Kevin Owens do it. You had Sami Zayn do it. You had Kofi Kingston do it. And, you know, when you're a heel, you would just, you know, you would downplay the fact that, you know, I don't speak French. I'm, you know, I speak English. And then you had Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens speak it. And as a viewer, I don't speak French, okay? I don't understand French. So clearly it is a play on the live crowd, but there are 99% of your viewers are sitting at home watching this. So it'd be nice to see, I don't know, I don't care if they put subtitles in. It's something. I mean, I get a general idea of probably what he's saying. I mean, you catch the some of the words like, you know, champion and Kevin Owens. I mean, you catch the names of things that aren't French translatable and you catch pieces of a promo. But I just don't like when they speak in French because it makes me feel stupid. I mean, as a viewer, I feel stupid when I'm watching something that I don't understand and I want someone to just tell me what you're saying. I don't need you to play to the live crowd. I mean, say simple words, a couple of quick phrases, but don't go on for a promo about it. I mean, I don't know. I guess it makes me feel stupid, but and I think it was an overplayed card in general over the last couple of days. So the other thing I want to discuss quickly, too, is Bayley and her reaction, negative reaction that she got on SmackDown Live. And it was brutal. It was brutal to watch her get that reaction, but it was somewhat deserved. And the reason I say that is because a couple of things. Number one, they haven't done a whole lot with her and Sasha other than, okay, they were the first, they were the inaugural women's tag team champions, and then they lost them the next at WrestleMania, and which was, I mean, I actually love the Iconics as the tag team champions, but for them to lose them, it was very well documented of Bayley and Sasha being very vocal that they didn't like the booking with that one, and apparently they made a scene and were acting, it appears, childish backstage that they lost the tag team championships so quickly, and it was so that is something that is any backstage stuff that happens like that is always brought to the forefront and will be made public one way or the other. So there's that. And then there's the fact that Bayley and Sasha have not been booked great over really the last year and a half since their terrible on again off again feud that eventually people got lethargic about and didn't care which way it happened, to their sometimes cringing promos of just, they're not able to grasp the audience at this point. And you have Bayley now coming out there and getting booed, but somewhat deservedly. And it's partially WWE's fault on this. I mean, the booking that they have put them through has been just god-awful. Terrible. Terrible. So they need to do something quickly with Bayley, who I think actually be a decent heel character, but she's vocalized that she doesn't ever want to be one, but I think she could very well easily be one. All right, so that's what I think about Bayley. And then as far as the Viking experience goes, I know people are making fun of it. I think it's okay right now. It's a little bit out there. It's a little bit outlandish, but isn't that what wrestling's about, right? I mean, I don't want this to all be about the character, like Kairi Sane is with this new tag team with Paige and Asuka. So she comes out with like a ship wheel. And I mean, I know that's what she did at NXT, and she's an amazing performer. So maybe that will speak for itself and outshine the character kind of hokiness that she is coming out basically as a female pirate and pretending to steer a ship. It's not my favorite gimmick because it's a little cheesy. It reminds me of Paul Burchill, if you guys remember him. Maybe that's why I'm souring on that a little bit. If you guys remember Paul Burchill, he would come in on a rope like he's some kind of pirate, you know, swinging on his ship. I don't know. But it had me flashbacks to that. But Kairi Sane is amazing in the ring. I love her finish of the insane elbow. I love it. I think her and Asuka could really reinvigorate the tag team division. on the SmackDown women's side, tag team side. So that's cool. With Paige behind them, that adds a whole bunch of value as well. Paige is super over. So I'm excited for this tag team in general, I am. And really, Asuka is going to benefit as well, who has been all but forgotten. I mean, she was the SmackDown women's champion and ended up losing it right before WrestleMania so that all of the chips could be on that main event. So this is a good way to get Asuka back on track, to reintroduce Kairi Sane to the mainstream audience and get Paige behind them. This could be something special. It could be. And I'm excited for that as well. So those are just some of my quick thoughts. Overall, I mean, as I'm looking through here on my computer now of the official switches from Raw to SmackDown, you have, let's see, from Raw to SmackDown. So obviously Elias, we have Bayley, Ember Moon, who I think has been forgotten. She has. I mean, let's be honest, is going to be, I think, in a good place on SmackDown. We have Lars Sullivan, obviously, on SmackDown now officially. Buddy Murphy, Liv Morgan, Chad Gable, Apollo Crews, Mickey James, Otis, and Tucker. So I like that lineup. I think it's a solid, fairly even trade if you're going to go one by one here. I think the other big move that I loved and I predicted and I think is just a great move is for the Usos to go to Raw. They needed Raw. I mentioned that last week. They need Raw. I think The Miz coming to Raw, too, is a great change for him just as much as for AJ Styles. I'm really thinking that that is a great place for The Miz, who got a great reaction, by the way, on Raw when he made his when he made his debut there, I guess, to attack Shane, who ends up retreating. And I'm loving that feud more than I thought I would. I mean, those two just seem to have it. And I hope it continues for another couple of months and we get a blow off and we move on. But I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I would. And The Miz getting cheered is kind of like Kevin Owens getting cheered. I'm having trouble fully buying in right now because I'm waiting for that turn of arrogance or whatever it may be to flip the crowd again. But so far, so good. And I don't think they should do that. So those superstars going from Raw to made the jump to Raw from SmackDown. Obviously, AJ, The Miz, Ricochet, and Aleister Black could be a nice addition as well, who have kind of been on both brands, but I guess they're officially now on Raw. We have Andrade, not Cien Almas. If you have a last name in WWE, you might as well just chop it off. I mean, remember Antonio Cesaro? Yeah. I mean, the list just goes on how many names that they have just chopped. And so it's just Andrade and Zelina, who adds a whole lot to his character. I love Zelina. Obviously, Jimmy and Jey Uso. Naomi, so I'm sure that Jimmy or Jey, I forget which one's dating her, will be very happy with that. EC3, Lacey Evans, Eric Young, and Cedric Alexander. So one last thing here. Lacey Evans, and I know that I mentioned this last week too, but again, I think Lacey Evans is undersold. I think she has a lot to offer. She's a Southern Belle. I get all that. It's a little bit hokey, but I like her gimmick in general because it's different. It's different. She's kind of that throwback classic Southern Belle who's also got a mean streak and can cut a decent promo. So I think that while she will ultimately lose this program with Becky Lynch, and she should, with two belts Becky, which is not really something I don't know, not catching on with me. Two belts Becky is a little not my thing. But Lacey Evans right now is going to get a nice rub working with Becky. Obviously, Becky will win, but that's not the point. The point is to get Lacey Evans exposure, and it's the time to do it after WrestleMania. It's time to introduce new stars and build new stars. You got 11 months to next year's WrestleMania. Now is the time to do this, and it's a great time for Lacey Evans to get exposure and get people to know who she is. And I like it. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think that Lacey Evans has a lot to bring to the table. Braun Strowman and EC3, I don't know what to say about that. EC3 is getting defined down pretty quickly. He got chokeslammed through, I don't know, basically a fixed table setup on the side of the stage. So I'm not really sure what to make of EC3. They don't give him a whole lot of time. I mean, they just don't, to at least build his character on air. So It's a little bit perplexing to me, and Braun Strowman is kind of getting lost in the sauce again. I mean, he is a fall from grace story that is, it's tough to watch sometimes. But all right. So that's my quick recap, guys. I'm traveling for work, so I don't have a ton of time to discuss Raw and SmackDown, as I would usually, you know, at least go on for another 20, 30 minutes. But it's a bit of an abbreviated show. I do apologize for that, but I'll be back Sunday. Don't worry, in just a few days, I'll be back with either my What If segment or the Wrestling Nostalgia segment. And again, guys, I do appreciate all of the support and 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Huge, huge, huge help. By the way, one last thing and cheap plug. If you want all of the ads removed, and I know some people don't like ads, and that's cool. There's a way to remove it. You just go to patreon.com/WWE podcast and become a patron of the show, and you can get all of those ads removed and an ad-free experience, which I know some of you enjoy. So, guys, that's all I got for right now. As always, I'll talk to you next time.